This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. I want you to know that today is a new day for the Refresh radio program. The folks at Wyrick Air have been friends of the Refresh radio program for, I think, pretty much since the beginning. If it wasn't the beginning, it was shortly thereafter. And the piece of paper that I have their things written down on, it finally gave up the ghost. I mean, it was curled up, wrinkled up. All sorts of abuse have gone onto that piece of paper. And so I have a brand new copy of Wyrick Air's information today. And so there's even a new license number that I have for you there. It's Wyrick Air is a local company. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They've been around for 50 years. They provide professional sales services and repairs, specifically in the area of air conditioning, heating, not very often, but some, and electrical issues. They even provide emergency service for when necessary. And I know that happens on occasion because here a few weeks ago, there was something that they had planned and that those plans got changed because they had emergency service calls that they had to go and do. They primarily work in residential settings, but they do some light commercial settings. They travel all throughout Brevard County, from Barefoot Bay all the way up throughout the county. They strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. It's great to write that down so you can have it. If you want to look it up later, it's Weirich Air. Their license numbers are CAC182-1309 and EC130024-39. And again, their phone number is 321-632-9538. Dennis pastors a church up in Geneva and had me preach a revival service up there for him a few weeks ago. And a very, very friendly church, and we're thankful for their friendship and pray God's blessing on their church. So they bring kingdom values, not just to the pulpit, but to their service calls and their business as well. And you know how to get a hold of them, 321-632-9538. We're going back to Psalm 22 today. Verse number 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And so the word there that is used for praises of Israel there, it finds itself in use in a couple of other places in the book of Psalms. One, it talks about in Psalm 100, verse number 4, that you enter his gates with thanksgiving and you enter his courts with praise. A lot of times we like to think of praise as being reactive, when actually praise and thanksgiving is being proactive. So where in verse number 3 here, it says that he is enthroned in the praises of his people. It not only brings him to us, but praising God also brings us into his presence. It's the way that we enter. You know, have you given any thought to how you approach coming to church? How you approach coming into Bible study or into your prayer time or into your worship? You see, a lot of times here in our modern society, we tend to think it doesn't matter how I get there, just as long as I get there. And I want you to know that that's not always the case. It is true that God loves us as we are. He also loves us so much that he refuses to allow us to stay the way that we were. He wants to bring us out of our misery. He wants to bring us into his victory. So if you are going in for a medical procedure, they will tell you what sort of preparation you need to make before you go in for that medical procedure. That's not because they're just being mean. It's because they are trying to set the patient up for a successful medical procedure. Sometimes that preparation is not a lot of fun. I happen to like food. I happen to be have a lifelong addiction to food. I blame my parents. They got me addicted to food as a child, and I've required food almost every day since. It is something that I enjoy. All that's just a joke about the parents getting me addicted. It's, you know, a passion of my life on my very own. But sometimes if you're having a medical procedure, they'll say, well, you can't eat anything for 8 hours. And that's just until you get there. And then you have to, wait until they're ready. And so sometimes it lasts a lot longer and things like that. So earlier this year, I had a spot on my back, and the dermatologist had been watching it, and it, you know, really just got to a point where it was causing some discomfort and pain. And she said, okay, it's time that we, you know, recommend you to a surgeon so that you can get this dealt with, and that way you don't have to deal with it any longer. And it's like, sounds good to me. And so I went in for surgery and was not supposed to eat or anything. And as I'm walking down the hall to the surgical prep area, the person that was escorting me said, what did you have for breakfast this morning? I said, I had a double portion of nothing. And they said, that's the right answer. That's the right answer. So there's preparation there. A long time ago, I was at this golf tournament. I think this was before the Refresh radio program, and went to this golf tournament. I mean, this was fancy, swanky, and a friend of mine, that golf course has a dress code. And so he knew about the dress code for the golf course. But the restaurant that was part of the golf club also had a dress code, and he happened to be wearing a cap. And the server came over and said, sir, you're going to either have to remove your cap or you're not going to be able to eat here. And I remember sitting there and I was like, now I don't personally think a cap makes you more or less holy. It was just an environmental ambiance that they were looking for. But I remember sitting there and thinking this church has expectation, or this restaurant has expectations of how people come into it. I wonder how many people realize that there's expectations that God has when we come into his church. We come to listen. We come to praise. We come to hear from God. We come to respond to whatever God's message is. My goal is not to leave church the same way that I came in. My goal is to praise God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray that when I'm there to worship God, that when I leave, my spirit is going to be full and my body is going to need to be refreshed, because I want to be all in. And so whenever we come to church, we need to prepare our heart. God, see if there be any unclean thing. I want to repent before I ever get there. I want to be like the car at the starting line of a drag race, where my engine is revving and everything is all systems go. And when it's time to praise and worship, it's like the light has just gone from red to green, and bam, we are off and running, praising the Lord. And the good news is, as individuals, we don't even have to wait for the corporate praise to begin. We can start praising him on our own. I think that if we start praising him, we will find that we will be drawn into his presence and experience his throne room a whole lot better with praise than we will just waiting to see if something good happens or if they sing your favorite song. The second thing is, his praise shall continuously be on my lips or in my mouth. So praise is supposed to be our default position. It's not supposed to be something that we have to work ourselves up to. I hope that you are much more comfortable giving praise and thanksgiving than you are complaining. It is impossible to praise and complain at the same time. And so those are some wonderful things. So verse number 3, let me read it to you again. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. So those praises are supposed to be continuous. They're supposed to be based upon his nature, and they are supposed to be motivated by his throne room being established and us entering into his presence. So you can read on down through Psalm 22, and eventually you come to verse number 19. It says, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me, O my strength, capital S. Another word that fits there is, O my help, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Now, listen to what it says, verse number 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Okay? And so the thing that is being focused on here is the name of the Lord. I love the verse that says, you have exalted your word and your name above all things. I'm much more concerned about the name of God than I am about the name of Bob. Now, don't get me wrong, I want everybody to like me. Not everybody does, but I like it when everybody likes me. I don't like confrontation. I don't like strife. I don't like discord. I don't like any of that stuff. It doesn't mean I can't do it. I don't like it. I like peace and harmony. I like unity and the commanded blessing of that God has, even life forevermore, to those who are brethren dwelling together in unity. That's what I like. I like being in one place in one accord, and that accord is Jesus. And so when we are around others, we are supposed to be declaring his name. It's not just a declaration with our mouth. It's a declaration with our life. We are supposed to be reminding people about Jesus. So we have been studying in Sunday school the book of Acts. And we go chapter by chapter, and some chapters take 2 weeks and things like that. I try not to spend, you know, crazy amounts of time going through. But I also don't want to go through like a lightning bolt to where nobody really gathers anything. Have to remember, I got a little bit sidetracked there. I don't remember what I was getting ready to say there. This is one of those radio moments where you wish that there was a co-host here and you say, hey, what do you think about this verse? And all the time I'm trying to remember direction I was going there. But we're supposed to be declaring the name of the Lord. It's not, oh, now I remember, Antioch. So the believers who were living in Antioch, they were given a name by the unbelievers in Antioch. They were called Christians. And it was probably meant to be a name of mocking, but the name Christians reminded them of little Jesuses. And one of the things that I've seen, I don't really know where it started, but man, I have seen them all over the place. Treasure Your Landscape had an event a few months ago, and they had these little Jesus, siliconized Jesus figurines that they were giving away. If you found one, you got a discount. I brought one home to my wife, and she, I got one with the green sash or whatever, cause that's her favorite color. Saw it in a bank. My wife ran into some people who had one in a workplace, and, it's not because of a cartoon figure, but it's to remind you that Jesus is with us. And so if you went back to Antioch and you asked them, tell me, how should we identify? Well, we're people who believe in Jesus. And they acted differently. They worshiped differently. There were things the rest of society did that Christians did not do. And so they labeled them Christians. So it wasn't a self-proclamation. It was their life that caused people to say, their life reminds me of the life of Jesus. That's how we're supposed to declare his name. And here it says in verse number 22, the second part of the verse, it's in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. So in verse number 3, where it says that he is enthroned in the praises, that was the noun. But here in verse number 22, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. That's the verb. And here the word is halal. It's the word from which we get hallelujah. It is a word that is actually, and this is one of the things that I did not know. You know, I've always referred to it as the book of Psalms. Well, that's really the more Greek designation for it. Where that means songs or hymns or praising through the playing of instruments and things like that. But this is actually, the book of Psalms is more of a book of praise, to the point that there are certain psalms between Psalm 113 and Psalm 118. They're traditionally known as the Hallel Psalms. They're psalms that are meant to praise God for delivering the children of Israel from bondage. And so they never wanted to forget what God had brought them from. Also, don't forget to praise him for what he's bringing you to. So anyway, I found that to be extremely interesting. This word, it means to praise or to worship in a boastful manner. So when the New Testament says, let him who boast in the Lord, you know, I'm not going to boast about anything except for I'm going to boast about Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to be. This form of praise was the equivalent of a marriage song. It's what you could sing in a covenant relationship. And, you know, I'm thankful for praise and worship. In fact, this morning before I came into the radio station, I was singing a song from the Imperials. I do this when nobody else is listening, because it's my voice, not Russ Taff's voice. But I was just singing the song Praise the Lord. There's all sorts of different songs. And you know what? I don't care if it's a song of praise that comes from the hymnal or comes from an old chorus, or if it comes from the Word of God, or if it's a new chorus. If it's a song that is going to result in me bragging about Jesus, then I'm okay singing it. I want to rejoice. I like to at times be quiet. I also like to, you know, if I'm excited, God gave me the emotional component, and God knows that emotions have been expressed in a negative manner by all of us way too frequently. You got angry, you got mad, you said something to somebody that destroyed a relationship and still instead of built it up. You said things that you had to repent of, did things you shouldn't have done. Emotions have dictated a lot of negative things. Why would we not think that God could even bring redemption to our emotions, so that we express joy? So I went to a minister's meeting a long time ago, and it was a very, very difficult season physically for our family. My wife was working the graveyard shift. It was weighing on her. She would literally go two or three nights a week without any sleep at all. We had small kids and things like that. It was a very difficult season because she was struggling physically. That made it very hard for her at church on Sunday mornings on occasion too. She would sometimes come from the graveyard shift and, you know, get cleaned up and go right into teaching children's church. It was a very difficult season. And so, we decided that we were going to go to this minister's meeting, and at the end of the service, they asked if anybody wanted to come forward, and my wife was there. I grabbed her by the hand, and we went down to the altar, and I had a wonderful encounter with God, and God spoke to me during that time, and he said the devil thought he had you. He thought that he had you in a place where you were going to give up. And when he shared with me that his plan was for victory, not defeat, and joy, not misery, I began to quietly, not in a disruptive manner or anything like that, I started to laugh to the point of tears. And I still today, to this day, even though that was a long, long time ago, I still remember hearing someone saying, and I mean, I was laughing to the point I was, you know, having to remember to take a breath every now and then. They said, "Is he laughing or is he crying?" And the answer was both. I was praising the Lord in a joyful manner, celebrating God's victory, and the tears that I was shedding were tears of joy. More than half of the references to this boastful praising, more than half of them take place in the book of Psalms. It is not a rare occurrence. It's not a once a week occurrence. It's meant to be more of a lifestyle. There's an old hymn. It says, "There's within my heart a melody." What is the song of your life look like? Is it a song that brings glory to Jesus? Is it a song that says, I'm just here to praise the Lord. I just want to worship him. And I'm not really trying to create a scene about me. I'm trying to praise the one who gave his life so that my name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's not forget to praise the Lord. And so that's not something I can necessarily make you do. It's not something I can necessarily teach you to do, but it is something that once you have that information, you can go ahead and say, "God, I'm going to praise you. Thank him for what he's done." This word is the word that we get the word hallelujah from. It's an expression of praise to God in virtually every language. Make it part of your daily vocabulary as well. Let's just praise the Lord. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."